Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the Explicit Measures podcast with Tommy, Seth, and Mike. Hello, everybody. Good morning and welcome back.
Good morning and a happy Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday. Happy
Tuesday. How are we doing, gentlemen?
I appreciate this happy Tuesday. Last time you did one, it was a little bit intense.
Yeah,
it was a bit much. I went back and re-listened to it. I was like, holy smokes, now I know what Tommy was talking about. It was intense. So thank you for toning it down a bit. That was good.
You may not get it again this morning, but you know.
Well, and it should be an exciting day. This is episode 200, unless we do something between now and then.
But we might do something after.
Yeah. So we can finally have Tuesdays to be the odd day and then Thursdays to be the even day.
Because that really messed you guys up.
It's really messing me up.
Let's
be honest. It messed one of us up.
Yeah. Yeah.
But hey, I get particulars, okay, man. I'm particular about certain things too.
Exactly right. We'll get it sorted. We'll figure out the episode numbering so Tommy can go back to a normal pattern of where the odds and the even days are on the correct days now. So
it was Data March that screwed us up.
Yeah, Data March did it. 100%. So speaking of new things and Data March, today's topic is really around this new feature that you may or may not have seen inside Power BI Desktop. There's a blog post about this that was announced recently, and Microsoft has made a big change on how you are making and creating visuals nowadays.
If you choose to use it at this point in time.
Well, I mean, it's right. Yes.
It's preview.
But that typically means eventually, I mean, they refine the idea, right? So preview means
the
code's not complete, correct, all the way done yet. We're going to try some things out. We're going to get some feedback and we're going to refine. So that's what work out the bugs. I honestly like this idea of being able to see stuff that is like, as soon as they get something that they think is mostly complete, stick something out the door so we can see it, react to it and have some thoughts to it. Because you likely want to change the feature slightly. You don't just want to release it, be done with it. This is the feature is on visual editing. There's all a whole new on object interactions. And so this is a brand new way to create visuals.
Well, it's not just that. So obviously we know Microsoft.
What do you mean it's not just that?
So Microsoft is continually it's a little more. This is a game changer. This is absolutely closer to game changer than anything we've talked about on this podcast.
What?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I know you want to make episode 200 special, Tommy.
I know. We're working hard on this one.
But how? That's a stretch, man.
Hold on. So
no, I do. I will agree. This is a huge change. how you will produce things. I think the proof will be in the pudding. Yet, if I deem it a game changer at this point, I think I'm going to reserve that wording. Like when bookmarks came out, game changer.
Why would you say this is not a game changer?
Have you used the feature yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fantastic. All right. And Tommy,
great.
While we're cutting you off, please continue on with why this is such a game changer.
Yes. And maybe give us while you're here, but we should probably, for people who are not here, playing with the on visual editing, give us what is this? Like, how is this different than what we're doing today?
So we just went back in time 15 years to building charts in Excel, basically, but it's really trying to keep the same methodology or the same interaction that one would have in other Office products. For example, if you ever built a visual in Excel where all the properties are when you choose it, if I chose the x-axis, it would show me the colors if I want to hide it. So everything's on the page rather than for the last 7, almost 8 years, what we've done is everything's in a pane. All formatting, choosing the visuals, adding the fields, everything's in the pane to the right. Now, everything's where you click on it. So there's a few other nifty features where based on what fields you choose, it's going to suggest some visuals, but all the formatting and all the properties are by clicking on the visual itself.
Yeah. So literally just being able, I mean, again, I think this from a similar experience type thing, it feels just like Excel. Same thing. All right. So initial thoughts, reactions. Is this a game changer or is it not?
I mean, it's a change. I don't. Okay.
I mean, it's a change. It's different.
Parts of it feel really clunky. And parts of it feel intuitive. And I think the challenge here is like, okay, great. Like now we have an interface that is very, or I should say more familiar to potentially business users who created visualizations in Excel, not the greatest visualization tool, right? Like that's why they created a new one. But it's going to be very foreign for any of the traditional BI folks. Because everything was in a filter pane on the right-hand side. Like I said, as I'm playing with it and as I'm like, right-click, add a visual, right-click, modify my canvas, like those seem very intuitive. And it's okay, that makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. What doesn't, though, is a bit, like what's confusing to me is there's this very inconsistent experience where I was very pleasantly surprised that in my initial foray into it, adding data showed another small ribbon on the right-hand side, mm-hmm. right? Which was a collapsed ribbon, which is the same we get on the left one. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And it showed a little database icon for the data and then no formatting. And I was like, okay, interesting. And then as I interacted with a visualization and clicked more options, it gave me another icon. I'm like, oh, sweet. And then as you click through the different elements on a particular visual, it navigated for you mm-hmm. in the properties pane and highlighted, even though like I didn't catch that there was a highlight there at first.
Yeah.
It was really light. I thought that was the best experience ever. And then I closed it or collapsed it and it went away. Mm-hmm. And that's completely confusing to me.
Yes. Right?
Because
I agree with you.
You can't show me and hide me elements on the right-hand side that could be my just go-to click buttons or like things that are going to open and close for me and then disappear them because I can't get back to them. How do I get back to them? Now I'm forced into this weird loop of
like, how do I get back to where I was?
Do I have to click on this visual again and like open the video? So I thought like the experience where if you would show me these icons on the right-hand side and they're just collapsed off to the side and then give me this visual on visual experience.
Yes.
I thought that was the best. I thought it would like that to me is the route. Show me both of these things. You're merging these two ideas together and it doesn't have to be one or the other.
Correct.
Because in the same way that you're now adding, like, you have the visuals in the top ribbon bar, and now I can insert a visual or have it pick a visual, like, or just let me open my formatting pane, right?
Yes. Like, yes.
Make it easily collapsible. Make it force off to the side. Allow me to, like, click on a visual and, you know, be taken to the property on the right-hand side. Yeah. But then, like, to me, it should be a mixed experience where it's a Microsoft tool. There are always at least two and probably more ways to do the same action, right?
Yes, like, yes.
We know this. So why hide the old just to create the new, I guess, is my open question.
And the things that are maybe like I have to do a bit more testing to get comfortable with it. Like, okay, so one interaction I think is actually pretty good. If you're just, so there's this whole idea of like clicking into a visual. And you'll notice when you look at it, you have to double click the visual in order to start editing the visual. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're kind of going into edit mode. And the handles on the visual typically are, you know, if you don't click on the visual, you click on the visuals normally, there's gray lines and round circles. And when you double click the visual, it turns into blue lines and squares on the corner, which means editing. So now I have this concept of like, I want to position the visual. Mm. I can do that. And now I have another visual integration. Double clicking means now I need to edit the visual. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So in some ways, I feel like this makes Illustrator a lot more sense, because then it kind of, it's like, so sometimes when you have a hard time clicking on selecting objects, this, I think, to me, would potentially solve some of that issue. So I can actually click and drag the image around, and I can resize it, but I'm not necessarily editing the visual elements on that visual. So I like that. What I'm concerned more about is, I have to do more testing, is what happens when you turn something off, like the title on a visual, and it's no longer on the visual anymore. So that, to me, that's where things get a little bit more tricky about how that works. And I think, yeah, I think there's maybe what you're talking about, Seth, is a bug, potentially.
Maybe.
Because I feel like the format pane, what you're talking about there, should not disappear.
So, or yeah, maybe the option right now to keep it, but I don't think they could get rid of it completely, the format.
I think pain. No, I don't think they ever will. I think it has to stay there. My biggest grief right now is I want the data pane to be up,
right,
and the format pane to be up. But the way they've done it right now is you can't have both up. And it bothers me now, because now I have another thin ribbon on the far right hand side.
It
wastes more space for me. Like, so even if I have a selected visual and I want to add more data to it, I have to go switch. I have to click to go to the database, what they call it. It's the data tab now, a data button. They've added a new button, the data button. So I click on the data button. That's not confusing at all with data view at all. There's now two buttons. One's called data view. One's called data. Amazing. So maybe some renaming needs to be made. But when you click on that, you can then see all the data fields. Great. But now I want to throw out the format pane, and then I lose the data pane. And so to me, I was like clicking a lot between the two different panels, because I wanted to do both things at the same time. I want to just add it. Just why do we have to have it hidden? Why is it one or the other? I want both.
It does feel like a lot more clicks, and I don't know if that's because
I don't
used to it, but I don't know how much of a workflow you're going to be able to get with the data pane. It's funny because they basically just took the personalized visuals feature and put that in for developers, because basically that the way the data pane shows up, that's exactly what it's like in the service when you want to do personalized visuals, which is not, personally, is not optimal from my point of view, especially when you kind of usually need the entire space, like vertical space. Yeah. But yep. I mean, is it a little better because you can still focus? Like I do like the formatting, and I think the formatting is a game changer, because obviously one, we all have to change what we've done for years. And I think two, I think it will become a little intuitive. Because you're actually, rather than going back and forth, you're, you know, choosing the items that you want to modify. The data pane though is going to be a little difficult, but I mean, this is a entire modification of our workflow.
Oh yeah.
And
totally. And I also feel like too, for some degree here, since Microsoft is obscuring a bit more of the formatting on the visual itself, I feel like I'm going to spend more effort working on theme generating so I don't have to use it as much. I'm serious. I just want a list of alpha, like, so I've been doing a lot of revisions to the theme generator that we've been building. And there's a lot of things that I really like. One of them I really like is I like all the settings in alphabetical order. Like, you want to go look for the thing called X-axis? It's in the X's. You want to go look for the thing called title? It's in the T's. Like, it's, you can easily navigate to what you're looking for. You know the name of it, you go find it. It works. So like, I think I'll be doing more of that. Like, I won't try to be making or clicking on the title anymore and centering the title. I'll just make a theme and center the title for everything. And I'll be spending more effort making global things or global settings that I want to see. And I will be doing less of this on visual editing.
You know, come to think of it, Mike, I love these changes. I mean, it causes more confusion in the tool, and there's a more simple tool that you can use, which is ours.
Exactly. And for me, the game changer was, how about build a theme file when you can render it in real time? Like, if I can see my changes as they occur, this, to me, this solves all, like, that's what I'm doing here. I'm actually making changes, seeing the visual change, and that's why we do it here.
So you can't select multiple visuals then on the same property like you could before. Like, if you want to select all the x-axis.
Oh, interesting, Tommy.
I didn't even think about that.
If you have two visuals highlighted.
Oh, that are the same. You're right, Tommy, that you used to be able to.
Well, no, I think it's still there. You can still do it. You have to put the two visuals down, select them. You have to click the button to put the format pane open, because the format pane is still there. You have to click the format button, and then when you do that, then you can start modifying it.
Oh yeah, but not clicking on the actual like property.
No. Correct. So, yes, you do yeah. the when you're yes, correct. You can't modify a property. You can't click on the property and expect it to happen to all visuals.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
So I was just playing with that though. Like, you can, if you're modifying a property on one visual, and then you can click on the other visual, it stays there to modify that property. But if you're talking about like a changing both properties at the same time, I can't get that to work.
No,
you have to, for
the last 9 years of Dev Desktop. So here's how I did it to make it work for both. So you had to select both of them. So I put two visuals the same on the page. I used the click drag mouse. So click drag across the visuals. Mm-hmm. And then I had to change. I had to click again, more clicks here, which is great. I had to click the format panel in the right hand side of the desktop. And then once I did that, now I could go see the title or the features of that thing. And then I could adjust them together. So I'm doing the adjustments in the format pane. But I first have to select them, and I'm selecting them with not the blue border. I'm selecting them with the gray border and the round circles. There's a very big nuance to, like, am I editing the visual or I have selected the visual? And I think that's going to get more confusing to people, frankly. I understand it, but to describe it to someone, hey, are you editing the visual or you selected the visual? I don't know. Is it blue or is it gray? Like, now you have to make a distinction there a bit. You know what I mean?
Man. They've really been changing the whole visual side. To do a demo of Power BI back in 2015.
Oh, yeah. You still have... Tommy, I don't even know if it would work, because I believe I had to go download Silverlight and put it on my desktop. Like, I don't even think it's a thing anymore. I don't think I can even get it onto my computer. But you're right. There should be what I'd like to do, and maybe this will, yeah, well, we'll see. I'd like to get one up and running and see if that would actually work. That would be hilarious, though.
That'd be funny.
I think the question from here is, because obviously there's nothing we can do. This Microsoft, we know when they do previews like this, they're headstrong in terms of a few months away until our normal experience will be gone. So we
yes and no. I think this is going to last longer than just a couple. So you're right, Tommy, right? In the guise of, like, you know, preview features, usually it's like a couple months, right? We usually do 2 or 3 months, and then the feature comes out of preview and it becomes a real thing. Azure Maps has been in preview for how long?
Yeah.
Like, there are some features that they just don't really, like, let that go live for a very long time.
Oh, sure. Azure Maps and probably a bit of composite models too. Yeah. But look what they did with the format pane in the first place. Like, when it comes to something that's so part of some of the workflow, like, not everyone uses Azure Maps. But when they updated the format pane, I think it was maybe a few months until it was the default. Yeah. So I can't imagine this being there for 8 months and people doing it different ways, especially Mike, for being a trainer.
Who knows?
Where
this has just wrecked everything. When I saw this came out, my immediate thought is, this has wrecked every single person's ability to be able to do training on top of this stuff. Because everyone.
This just proves that my choice not to create all that material was a good one. So now I can start creating.
Start now, you start. Now right you do now. It now. Yeah. Because everyone else's stuff is now right? obsolete. it's tricky.
I mean, it's the challenge right across the board.
Is it a game changer yet? I mean, so I think we've been discussing the feature and talking about how it works and what it works like. I think in its current form right now, it's, for me, it's not quite a game changer. I think it's very close to being revolutionary. I think it's going to fundamentally change how people build things. I think there's a lot of parts of it that are going to be very useful and people are going to enjoy it. However, I think there's a good portion of this one that people need to be continually additionally educated, because there is no concept of double clicking a visual in Excel or in PowerPoint, right? You click the visual and then there are properties. That's basically what it is. So I think there's a fundamental shift that's happening here a little bit, because it is Power BI, and it will take a bit more time for people to get used to it. So I don't think I would call it a game changer yet. But I'm in general, I think I like it. My other feedback is I'm so frustrated by it, because nothing works like that we used to work. And that just drives me. When they made the new filter pane and there's all those grouping of different things, I'm like, I'm so frustrated because I can't find anything. I'm so annoyed.
Well, here's the thing. So what are you going to do? Are you going to just avoid using it right now?
No.
Or are you going to switch?
I got to switch. I got to do everything I can. So this is one of these. This is a really good question. This is excellent, Tommy. I think the question is, do we think this is ever, would this go away? Would Microsoft ever walk this back? And I would just stick with my old ways. I think the answer, for me, the answer is, I think Microsoft is no. They will not walk this back and go, oh, shoot. We invested, you know, another 260 megabytes of data into your Power BI desktop installer. We're gonna rip all that out. I'm just gonna go back to what it was. We're gonna go back to, you know what, everyone? It's too big in general. We're gonna go back to the 50 megabyte installer that was back in 2015, and we're gonna rename it to Power BI Designer. It just won't happen. Like this is here to stay, and because I think it's gonna be here to stay, the sooner you learn it, the sooner you get into leveraging and understanding how it works best in your workflow, the better. So that's my opinion. What's your take, Seth? Are you going to use it right now or no?
Yeah, I think you have to. I think you have to, right?
Yeah, like it's not going away.
There's we need to adjust to it. I think I'm hoping that there are some last minute tweaks around just doing what you're already allowing to do, right? Like give me the right-hand side pane. Just show me that all the time. It doesn't have to be the panels and whatnot. Because it's exactly what you're doing the minute you're interacting with a visual anyway, right? You're just allowing a user to navigate into those panels and you're directing them where they should look to go change the property anyway, because it's a developer tool. There are way too many features and options for you to choose from to have that all on visual, right? So Tommy was right, right? Like you took a very front-end interface that allowed business users a limited view and ability to like modify and create visuals on their own, and then brought it back into the hardcore developer. But we're coming at it from the hardcore developer. But at the same time, a lot of Power BI is business users. So I can see that there's an interaction there.
Totally.
It's just the thing I would say is don't show and hide stuff. Don't make me like create a feature that allows me to have to go into something to have a toggle that turns on something, because that's just going to confuse end users. Just navigate,
right.
Like do exactly what you're doing when I'm in the experience, which is move me around those panels so I don't have to think about it. It's the ultimate search. We had a whole episode on searching.
Yeah.
Right. Of all those things. It is the perfect search, because you're taking all of that challenge out of it from a developer experience.
Agreed.
And you're guiding me right where I want to be, unless I want to be really, you know, nerdy and go into particular areas. One of the things I do absolutely love though, which you can solve with a theme as well, is the quick access to like disabling Y and X axis. Right.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
take them out right away. The fact that those are checkboxes, I think is a well thought out design from the standpoint that there are a lot of visuals that you automatically rip those out because you already are displaying that information in different colors or something else that already describes what they are.
So I agree. And I would echo to your same point too, Seth, like clicking on the thing and it goes right to the navigation in the properties panel. Big win. Like absolutely love it. That's huge. That is very, very well done. I thoroughly enjoy that part of it. Yeah, there's been, yeah, agreed. I will have you guys noticed, and I'm just curious if you see it as well. I was trying to figure out how to add a new visual to the report canvas. I was just trying to add a new one.
Yeah.
Okay. I found there's a couple ways you can do it, right? You can go to the home ribbon. You can click the insert visual button. Yep. There's a little gallery at the top there. I will admit the drop-down menu for all the items and visuals is kind of cool. And I do like that there's a lot of visuals there already populated for you. I feel like the window should be a little bit wider width-wise because it's a bit too long right now. But I do like the grouping them. The groups of them, I think, make a lot more sense. So I can easily quickly get to a section of different visuals. But I didn't realize you can right-click on the report canvas and just say add visual. So no matter what menu you're on, if you're on the modeling ribbon and you don't have access to the you don't have to go click the button, right-click, add visual. I think that is very intuitive. And I think that is, if you go to old desktop, you can't do that. You can't right-click, add visual, which I think is, again, makes a lot of sense. You, in the old desktop, you could double click and then write a question and then you could get a visual from there.
So obviously there's just the adjustment period, but I guess from an actual development point of view and from what we do you see this feature really changing, I guess, do you think it could change behavior in terms of the designs that we do and what we actually add? Because I am all about when you change systems and processes and little things can change behavior. So do you think something as big as this with everything, literally in a sense, you're touching it, is going to change what we do at all?
So will this on editing actually change the style of our reports? I don't think it will change too much. I think it'll be subtle at most. I don't think it's going to change that much of the workflow. Seth, what do you think?
It's an interesting question because my thought goes more towards the things they could start to include in it, right? Like just because I have two on editor things here, and in one of them it's like, hey, suggest a type. I think it'd be really cool if like there's suggest a visual configuration, or like you could start to do styling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like if you think about PowerPoint, right? When you're creating slides, it's like recommended slides. Like
usually I'm swearing at the time.
Yeah.
So it's just very incredibly frustrating and annoying. But yes.
You don't
I do remember but PowerPoint.
But for those of us who are normal and use PowerPoint, they suggest, like I've taken those a lot. Like there's suggested themes and different ways you can lay out, and it automatically lays out your visual.
I agree. Exactly. I like that a lot.
Yep. Like to me, I think there's a lot of opportunity in here where you're opening the door to potentially new capabilities, right? Mm. Where if I'm doing a line chart, maybe there is a style thing like, hey, with your line chart, you could make it look like this.
Yeah.
And then like auto make all those changes on there. I don't know. It was just a thought when you were like, hey, you know, is this going to lead to changing, you know, styles of something? Yeah. I think it leads more, it lends itself more to that type of kind of space where I'm on object and it, you know, creates a new experience for me or shows me a different way to do something.
You know, that's interesting you say, because I don't know if you've seen some of the latest articles that's coming out of Microsoft for the Power Platform and for Office with Copilot. But they're
Copilot designer. Different Copilot. No. It's a new one. Yeah, so there is Copilot for VS Code.
They're changing it in Word and as they're applying it.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I just read something yesterday on it.
They're adding it everywhere. And Tommy, I think you just got access to Designer, Microsoft Designer.
Yes.
Which is where you can generatively use AI to generate an image so it's non-copyrighted from scratch. And then you can collect a bunch of images and then you can say, well, generate me a post. Yeah, go ahead, Tommy, keep going down this route.
Yeah, so Copilot's going to be enabled in basically Windows, Office, Teams, and it's going to basically is like, you know, basically I want to write this or I want to do this, but it's also going to now empower the Power Platform. So like Power Apps and Power Automate saying, I'm trying to create an app that does this.
Interesting.
So think about
it just creates the app.
You basically say what you want the app to do. Yeah. Yeah. Because Microsoft's been using GPT-4 this whole time.
Oh, yeah.
But think about also to the interaction where you know that half this is going to be you're going to prompt GPT or OpenAI.
I don't know if you know this, but the entire WebView 2 platform was written by GPT. What? No, I'm just teasing. Okay. That's why it sucks so bad.
That's no good.
That was an insider joke for those of you who have had wonderful experiences with WebView 2 in your Power BI desktop experience. It just has never really worked correctly since they put that in.
I'm looking forward to how they're going to implement those sorts of things in Power BI, because I think there are certainly some things that come to mind, but But I'm always thinking in the realm of ChatGPT, but at the same time, to your point, Tommy, it's not just code-based, right? Like, and I think what I've learned while ChatGPT has been the thing that went huge, right? AI models and AI in general, and apparently some of them are a lot better than ChatGPT. ChatGPT is just the one that interacts with people in a way we understand really well.
Yeah.
Right. Like we're inputting things we want, and what we get out of it makes sense to us in context. What I haven't explored as much, which kind of relates to what I'm talking about, are all of the AI engines and models that generate images or video or whatever the case may be, because that's where even on LinkedIn, you see some of these folks like generating reports. Like, they're not interactive by any stretch, I don't think, but the engines can do it, right? So it'd be very interesting in here is whether or not I can pre-generate something or have something generated for me, based on an awesome theme file I upload, or something like
that. Based on this theme file, make me a report. Microsoft's been doing AI generated things for quite a while now. And it's just, to me, so far, the things that have been AI generated have just not really hit the mark. Yeah. It's been like a nice, we've coined the term, right? It's a Gartner feature, right? Yeah. It's a feature that Gartner wants to look for, that you're innovative, you're pushing ahead, you're ahead of the pack, right? Yeah, I'd also echo the thought that comes along with this one, especially time with OpenAI attaching to itself to all the Office products. I think there's a nervousness. Think about the educational space. Think about if you went into Word and you used this OpenAI thing that's built into Word now and said, write me my thesis on da 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 da. And it starts generating out paragraphs of information for you that you didn't have to do or research or get going. How is the instructor going to know that was used or not?
Like, to change their styles, like 100%. I don't envy educators at all
now. This is going to make it incredibly difficult, especially if it comes, like, so will schools actually not choose Microsoft products because this is actually built into it, or do they have to have a feature where they can turn it off?
It's not just Microsoft. Google Sheets is already integrated.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. So what are you going to do? Please write out and by hand your paper in this room so you can't even use a computer. It's going to be crazy.
No, and that's why for the long story thesis or, what does it do to certain certificates or degrees, right?
Yeah.
English.
Well, right? And
you have to properly writing stuff. And
did this just obsolete every English major?
Hold on. So
Tommy's like, hold up.
Everyone's going crazy about that. The world is completely changing, and it absolutely is. But here's the thing: for people who are worried that they think AI is going to take over their jobs and it's going to take over everything. That's not the case. You know what is going to take over your job? Someone who's using AI effectively. Mm-hmm. Honestly, this is the same conversation old farts were having when Google came out. Like, oh my gosh, they can find, and they don't have to go to the library. What? Yeah. And this is just it's another adjustment, But honestly, like, and I know we've talked about GPT and AI a bunch, and obviously the hype cycle is incredibly high, but I think we've all seen the use cases and it's finally better than Siri. And more importantly, I think whether it's in on object or it's within Power BI, because it's going to be in every product that we use. It's honestly, I think we have a responsibility, and I think part of this, keeping up is knowing how to use it.
Yes, and I agree. So, I think we're at the time right now where we should actually ask ChatGPT. It's ChatGPT time. ChatGPT. That's our. I need to get an actual segment here where we can hit a little button here and make it hit. So now that we've been talking about it, it knows we're listening, and it's trying to send the overlord bots at us. Exactly. I have this really weird thing where I think, you know, when ChatGPT is actually doing the thinking, I think it sounds like the dial-up modem. It's like, and that's what it's doing in the back end. You just can't hear it. And then the words start popping out. So,
yeah. That would be a good intro.
ChatGPT, the question was, what are the advantages of on-visual object editing in Power BI? So customization. Okay, I agree with that. You can fully customize the appearance of your visuals to fit your specific needs. You can adjust the fonts, color, shapes, and other properties. All right, I think on point. Improved communication. This is a little sus at this one. Visuals can help improve your communication and data comprehension. That's just a visual in general. I would not. No ChatGPT, that was wrong. Efficient design. Object visual editing can help streamline the design process by enabling you to quickly create and modify your visuals. That sounds like a line right off the Microsoft documentation. You can use a template. You can copy paste. So there's no template ability, but that'd be nice if they could actually give us templates. Like you styled one, save that as a template and come back to it later. That'd be a win. It'll make creating visuals easy and easy to update existing ones. And then there's one more point around user-friendly interface. The interface of Power BI's visual object is designed to be user-friendly, allowing users with little or no technical knowledge to create or edit visuals. So I would agree with those. Anything else you'd want to throw in? Any comments on that?
You got to give GPT a little time. It's
too new.
It's too new.
It hasn't been able to absorb all the knowledge yet. It needs some more time.
It's also not up to date.
True. True. I will say, I did ask another question. I asked a follow-up question. I said, what are some disadvantages? Because I wanted to see why it was, like, what was the opposite side of the spectrum? And they said, complexity. It's designed to be user-friendly. It can still be complex for users who are not familiar with the software. I'd agree. It's very new to people. So yeah, I agree with that one. Creating customized visuals in Power BI can be time-consuming, particularly complex visualizations. Users may need to spend a significant more amount of time adjusting formatting, colors, and other properties to achieve the desired result. So Tommy just had enough and just left the podcast, I believe. So with that, there's a couple good ones here that was like, there's some, you know, edge cases here that I think it's picking up on that are like, yeah, I would agree. You know, it's going to be easier, but for someone who's just starting out, it may be a bit more challenging to figure out where the, to your point, Seth, right? Where did that property go? Where did that setting go? How do I get back to it?
Give me a consistent experience. I love the new panel. Yeah. Give me a consistent experience on that. I love the interactions taking me around that panel.
Agreed.
Right? Like, that makes a ton of sense to me.
Yeah.
That makes an easy experience.
I agree.
Turn off the show and hide stuff weirdness that creates a really inconsistent and confusing experience, because this whole point of bringing it on visual is you want to bring familiarity into the tool. Don't conform your tool to have to be like something else, because it's a different tool, right?
Yeah, agreed.
Like, know your audiences and have those things in there at the same time, visually exposed, and allow people to interact with them.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I do also think I echo, I mean, I've been playing with the whole desktop this whole episode. I do like the text box updating. The text boxes, when you put them on the page, their properties or what they have in there makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Well, with that, you've burned through a perfectly good 40 minutes or so of the Explicit Messages podcast. We appreciate everyone listening and showing up. We really would love it for you to like and share this content. If you found value from it, if you found some interesting topics, that's what we do it for. We do it for the community. So let someone else know that you had a good time. Post about it. Let other people know that this is a good episode to watch or listen. And you, and even do better than that. Tell them what value you found, and then share it so that they can go look for the value that you found and maybe have a different reaction. Tommy, where else can you find the podcast?
You can find the podcast anywhere it's available: Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Make sure to subscribe, and you can listen to all of our 200 episodes. And make sure to join the conversation live every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:30 a.m. Central.
You can join line, so we don't have to. This episode was recorded. If you didn't know. Anyways, take care, everyone, and we'll see you next time.